Now, there's an important point to be made here. The bodhicitta, the will to enlightenment, or thoughts of enlightenment, as it's sometimes translated, though not very correctly, the bodhicitta, the will to enlightenment, is transcendental. It's not a product of the mundane consciousness, of the mundane individuality. One cannot therefore really speak of my bodhicitta or your bodhicitta. It's not an individual possession. In fact, there is only one bodhicitta, just as there is in reality only one bodhisattva and one Buddha. But that one bodhicitta manifests through different individuals, manifests through those that make themselves receptive to it. And this is what has happened in the case of Rujuraketu. He's made himself receptive to the bodhicitta, receptive to the golden light. So the bodhicitta manifests through him, got the golden light, works through him, and he is now a real bodhisattva. So what does a real bodhisattva do? He practices the six paramitas, the six perfections: generosity, ethics, patience, vigor, meditation, and wisdom. He works on himself. He does his best to help others. But then, unfortunately, what usually happens? Indeed, we may even say, what always happens? He comes up against obstacles. Obstacles within himself. He encounters inner resistance. He becomes aware of many weaknesses and many faults, becomes aware of much within him that is actually evil. He becomes aware of the darkness within him. And this darkness resists the influence of the bodhicitta. This darkness struggles against the golden light. So when that happens, what should the bodhisattva do? What can he do? Well, he confesses. He confesses his faults. He confesses the evil that is within him. So this is what Rujuraketu does. He confesses. And the verses which come forth are verses of confession. Now, Rujuraketu's experience is surely very much our own. Even though our experience may be on a lower level and on a more restricted scale, we too perhaps have seen the workings of the golden light in the world, or at least in our corner of the world. And we too have been attracted by that light, have felt the effect of that light. We too have wanted to cooperate with it, to make ourselves receptive to it, to allow it to work through us. So we too have breathed forth our individual aspirations. We may not have actually taken the bodhisattva vow, but we've at least resolved to work on ourselves and to do our best to help others in whatever way we can. But then what happens? We too encounter obstacles, obstacles within ourselves. We too encounter inner resistance, perhaps far stronger and more terrible than anything Rujuraketu experienced. So what do we do? What can we do? Well, to begin with at least, we too simply confess. Now, the word for confession in both Pali and Sanskrit is desana. Desana means pointing out, indicating, explaining, expounding, as in dharma desana, which means the pointing out of the dharma, the explaining of the dharma, the expounding of the dharma. So in the same way, you've got papa desana, pointing out one's own faults, acknowledging one's own faults, making known one's own faults. Papa, incidentally, is often rendered as sin. But I prefer to avoid this term on account of its Christian theological connotations. Faults, however, for papa, is rather weak. Evil is probably the best equivalent. So papadesana is therefore a pointing out, an acknowledgement of the evil within one. It is a confession of evil. But none of these expressions really does justice to one's actual spiritual experience at this stage. So let us go into the matter just a little more deeply. You come into contact with the golden light. You absorb something of the golden light. Something of the golden light enters into your system. So the golden light, one may say, is a sort of spiritual food. It's a sort of spiritual nutriment. In fact, it's the most concentrated and powerful kind of spiritual food one could possibly imagine. More than that, it's also a spiritual medicine. How is that? When it enters, when the golden light enters into one's system, it encounters all sorts of other things that we have taken in, all sorts of other things that we have produced. In other words, it encounters various unskillful mental states, various unwholesome mental states. It encounters greed, encounters hate, encounters delusion, encounters wrong views. So what happens? Well, of course, there is a struggle. There's a struggle between the golden light and our unskillful mental states. There's a struggle between the golden light and all the poison that is in our system. And each tries to throw the other out of our system. Sometimes, unfortunately, the unskillful states win. They succeed in expelling the golden light. And that means an end to our spiritual life, at least for the time being. But this, happily, very rarely happens. Once you have taken in, really taken in, even a little of the golden light, it's very difficult to get rid of it. You're stuck with it. So usually, the golden light succeeds in expelling the unskillful mental states, succeeds in throwing out, even throwing up, the poison. So the golden light is not just a spiritual food. It's not even just a spiritual medicine. One can say that the golden light is a spiritual emetic, even a transcendental emetic. It's something which, once you've taken it, compels you to vomit up all the evil that is in your system. And it's in this vomiting up of all our mental and emotional poisons that the confession of evil really consists. It's not just a verbal acknowledgement. It's much more than a verbal acknowledgement, even though it is, of course, accompanied by a verbal acknowledgement, a verbal expression. The confession of evil is an actual revulsion from evil, an actual rejection of it. When we vomit physically, our stomach turns upside down. It turns over. And there's an upheaval. There's a convulsion. And it's much the same when we confess. Truly confess. There's a spiritual upheaval. A spiritual convulsion. And then up comes the poison. And we spew it out. I hope this way of putting things will not offend the susceptibilities of the more refined members of the audience. The truth of the matter is that confession can be a painful and unpleasant process, a process in which you may feel that you're spewing up not only the evil that is in you, but your blood and your guts as well.